Good morning, everyone. It was a beautiful, full-bodied chanting. And did you notice the sound of the bell? Beautiful sounding of the bell. Full-bodied. And this is really our culminating day of Sesshin. Tomorrow will be exciting and challenging. And family, community. Today is really the last kind of full day of what we've come to do. And I want to just congratulate you for coming and taking care of yourself in this way. Everyone who's participated in this Sangha, even those who are not here, who may listen to this Dharma talk, the ones that are in the city. They're the ones that hold the structure so that we can come up here. And so we have to thank them. And those of you who have been here since the very beginning, since the two free days, which are very strange, where we go out to dinner all the time and go to Donna's and we come here to set up the place and turn this zendo, for this living room with a big rug and a big TV and couches into a zendo. Very impressive to see the transformation. Change it and turn it into a place where we could have a dai session, where we could have precepts week, give the precepts, have an arts study week, a beginner's mind session, and then this session. I mean, it's amazing how much has taken place here over the last month. And I just wanted to thank you all who have been here the whole time, who have kind of held this together. Really appreciate it. And Arshuso Seizan, you know, he manages the Zendo in New York flawlessly. He's our Zendo steward there. And almost any time you go to the Zendo, he's there doing something with remarkable humility, which I appreciate so much. And he is an example and a model of continuing practice. He's been practicing with us for 10 years. And you've been a model of casting the light inward. Model of learning to embody wisdom and compassion. I have witnessed your work on your anger, on your long-windedness, and I have learned from your example, as I hope others have. You continue to work on it. Acknowledge it, see it, and work on it. So this is our practice. I did want to just also mention that there, you know, in the last couple of weeks there's been like nobody at the Village Zendo to speak of except the people that open it, which is particularly challenging if you're giving a talk. And I have heard from the people that have given talks, you know, to two or three people. It's very hard because, you know, yeah, there's a kind of formal way we do things, and it's very hard when that happens. And I so appreciate the fact that in our Zendo in New York City, we're open 15 times a week. We're open at noon. We're open in the mornings and in the evenings. Sundays. And I see that as the primary thing that we have to offer in that busy, crazy place that once was kind of abandoned buildings and is now like a mall, you know, so you can witness greed, anger, and ignorance at any point you want. Go downstairs. There we are. So, in Dogen's, another really important work, which we've studied before, is Mendoa, and I encourage you to look at that if you haven't. Dogen speaks about his trip to China and what he learned from his teacher, Ru Jing. And in it, he says, the zazen of even one person at one moment imperceptibly accords with all things and fully resonates through all time. So that one person that's sitting at the Zendo today imperceptibly is changing that neighborhood, that building, that neighborhood, that street. And we here, this little tiny group, 35 of us, are changing. We're changing Cornwall on Hudson, Duncan Avenue. Oh, I meant to tell those of you who drive that I read the police blotter, and they've been checking the radar on Duncan Avenue. So watch it. I forgot the recording was on. just a little extra something. And I forgot what I was talking about. Oh, in Bendoa, so it resonates, and what we're doing here resonates to you and your families, your businesses, when you go back. You know, maybe just the person on the subway with you. You change them simply by your act here. It is very valuable. Now, we've been studying this work of Fukan Zazengi, which, as I said at the beginning, or at some point, was the first thing Dogen wrote when he came back from China to Japan. And it is, as each speaker has emphasized, the instructions for Zazen for everyone, not for monks, not for adepts, for everyone, all of us. And I don't think we've exhausted this. I think we should just study this from now on. Koshin Hoshi talked about how we turned toward the Dharma in the first place, toward practice, how we learned to turn the light in. And he talked about how practice holds us, provides a place for our memories, like that incredible image that he offered us of tucking the father's body in the back of the head, the lark's head, in the Laurie Anderson song. And then Esho emphasized embodied practice, embodied practice. How it is in our bodies, not in our ideas. And I was so struck when she invoked the lifelong practice of Segovia, the great guitarist. His practice throughout his whole life, every day, on that guitar. Can you spare 15 minutes a day for your zazen? In order to resonate with everyone in the world, to make a difference in your life? Are you so busy that you can't spare that? And Chodo, I don't know, he was humorous and at the same time very serious about how we make enemies, our enemy-making qualities. And he essentially taught us how to laugh at that quality that we have. And in laughing at it, we're able to bring it down to a size that we can handle it. How we can make friends. And finally, care for someone who we perceive to be the enemy. So, I want to follow up with some towards the end of the Fukan Zazengi. It says, "Do not consider whether you are clever or stupid, and do not think of whether you are superior or inferior. When you practice wholeheartedly, it is truly the practice of the way. Practice enlightenment cannot be defiled. Making the effort to obtain the way is itself the manifestation of the way in your daily life. The Buddhas and sages, both in this world and in other worlds, in India and China, preserve the Buddha seal in the same way and express the way freely. They just practiced sitting and were protected by Zazen. Although their characters were diverse, each of them practiced the way of Zazen wholeheartedly." It's a very powerful series of thoughts here. Do not consider whether you're clever or stupid, and do not think of whether you're superior or inferior. Now, Dogen is very kindly reminding us that this isn't about how we choose to label ourselves in moment to moment. I'm an intellectual. Oh, I sit in a chair. I'm not as good as those people sitting on the floor. I'm not a consistent person. This practice won't work for me. I just don't have what it takes. I'm no meditation athlete. Well, obviously, those judgments. Whether we judge ourselves to be superior or inferior are the things that block the gate, that prevent us from entering. Don't do that. The gate does open. When we drop our self-involved judging and just say, okay, whatever, just as I am, I'm ready to enter the Dharma. Just as I am. Not like I'm going to plan to be when I'm really better and I'm going to lose 5 pounds and then I'll enter the Dharma. Certainly not happening in this ongo. But there is a gate. There is a way to enter wholeheartedly. And it's when we drop all of that bullshit and let it go. It's just a way to prevent us from really moving forward, practicing. As Dogen says this wonderful phrase, wholeheartedly, with our whole heart. It's really important. When we're sick, we practice wholeheartedly. We might be quiet. We might be lying in bed. We can practice wholeheartedly. Not thinking if it were only different. There were several years when I was quite ill and practiced a lot in bed. Sangha was in the next room. And I sat Zazen in bed. Wholeheartedly, whatever you're doing. When you're busy and you think, oh, I've got so much work to do. I should be sitting more. Oh, just sit wholeheartedly, just where you are. And that's what we do here. That's what this session is about. It's about wholeheartedly being involved in liturgy, wholeheartedly being the chidin, cleaning the bowls, serving. What a practice of training of wholeheartedness to serve over and over again. to really give. It trains us to practice because these actions are relatively simple. It's not as complex as our lives or as we think our lives are. Wholeheartedly. And then, if you continue to come here, you'll find that eventually you may make your way to the kitchen or to administration, which is complex and exhausting sometimes. But there's, despite all the distractions, we learn to practice wholeheartedly in that way. We learn to find our still point in the midst of whatever's going on, wherever we work. And when we go home and whatever we're involved with, lines of people outside the office waiting to come in and see you, you can be wholeheartedly with each person at each moment. You don't have to say, oh, I can't do this, or do it fitfully and without attention. And what happens is you begin to feel whole. You begin to feel complete. You are part of the energy of the moment, which is right on top of your head. It's not the moment that you're anticipating or the moment that's just past that you're remembering, but you're right, completely present in this moment. Next, Dogen says, practice enlightenment cannot be defiled. You know, so maybe you sleep a little bit in your zazen. But when you practice, in that moment, it cannot be defiled. Your effort is not defiled. And you might recognize what's happening with you, and you might not. And you know, the shocking thing is, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if you recognize you are enlightened or not. As long as you're enlightened, you're changing the whole universe. You want to know. Because you want to get what you thought you weren't going to get. But it doesn't matter, ultimately. It's the practice, it's the effort, it's the wholeheartedness. It's that very moment that counts. Not the retrospective poem you write when you get home. Can't be defiled. Maybe you lose your temper with me. Certainly has happened often. Or at someone in the Sangha. Or someone who's not here. Does that make your practice defiled? Or doesn't it give you another gate through which to enter? To clarify. To realize. As Dogen says, making the effort to obtain the way is itself the manifestation of the way in your daily life. So these days, I think this is the most important line. You know, there's all kinds of koans. What's the most important line in this? Or what's the most important line in that? This, to me, is the most important line of Fukan Sasengi. Making the effort to obtain the way is itself the manifestation of the way in your daily life. It's not about attaining. It's about being willing to make that effort, however simply and humbly we can. Drop the pretense, drop the fantasy, and make the effort. And we do it according to our capabilities. If we take up practice when we're older, some of the formal traditional positions are simply not possible. So we wind up, or even the prostrations are not possible. And yet we can make the effort to sit still. We can make the effort to bow with our heart, to enter the way completely. And in doing that, regardless of whether or not we go down on the floor or we simply make a standing bow, we are completely and utterly entering the way. If we're not berating ourselves because we're not doing it in the way we think is the right way, maybe you're challenged in your concentration. Still, making the effort is the point. I mean, for God's sakes, why would you want to get to 10? Huh? It's not getting to 10. Making the effort is the manifestation of the way. We perform the way. And we perform it for the person next to us. By manifesting our effort. And that's tricky, how to titrate that effort. If it's too much, we lose the ease and flow. If it's too little, it's slack and sloppy. Sometimes I worry that our zendo is a little slack. That's when you hear me saying things like, sit up straight, watch your posture, pay attention to your hara. I mean, whatever position you're in, be aware of your breathing. Be on top of the moment. Don't be slack, lazy. When I began practice, I was in my middle years, and I practiced very hard. I sat through many periods of painful sitting. And I learned so much from that I don't want to deprive you of that. I'm not saying injure yourself. I did not injure myself. If you have difficulties in the hips or knees, you have to take care of that. Go to your yoga class and stretch. But there is a point when you have to put that real effort in. When we talk about ease and flow, we're talking about ease and flow that arises out of sincere effort. This is not an easy practice. Not. Somewhere between that effort and strain, there's strain, which is difficult and not recommended, but strong effort is. And the proof is in the expression in your life. In Bindowa, Dogen talks about something called Jijuyu Samadhi, unified state of mind. Still point. It is, as Maizumi Roshi said to me, it is the self enjoying itself. It is the mind enjoying its mind. This is the effort that I'm talking about. When you are just sitting and the mind is just enjoying the mind. It's delicious. Maybe it lasts a second or so, but it's worth it. Wholehearted effort. And then finally, Dogen says, the Buddhas and sages, both in this world and other worlds, in India and China, preserve the Buddha seal in the same way and express the way freely. So they did the same thing we're doing here. They just practiced sitting and were protected by Zazen. What does he mean? Protected by Zazen. When we touch our true self, there's nothing to be afraid of. We let go of all the stories, all the judgments and tags, and we experience this Jijuyu Samadhi. We are protected. We are cared for. My Zazen protects me from terrible temper, impossible, reacting angrily, a lifetime of struggle with anger. My Zazen protects me from that. It protects me from feeling inadequate. Protects me from feeling not appreciated. Protects me from not making enemies or being haunted by paranoid thoughts. How does it do that? How does Zazen protect us from that? How does Zazen allow us to recognize that we are adequate, or as Zen would say, we are complete, we are sufficient and strong? We can be connected with everything, everything. We lack nothing. This is how our Zazen protects us. So it ends with, the treasure house will open of itself, and you will be able to use it at will. What is that treasure house? What is that treasure house? Where is it? It's that Zazen that is protecting you. How can you neglect it? You are the treasure. And as our Shuso's been telling us, you're changing. You're shifting your self elements in every moment. And your Zazen helps you, protects you, and leads you to true treasure. So here's a gatha to encourage you in the next 24 hours of practice. Summer's ending, and we return to the city. We bring nothing with us. A quiet, motionless nothing. And that nothing is everything we need to care and serve life.